We appreciate you tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition this afternoon as we journey through the Bible together. This is a live call-in talk show, so we want to encourage you to grab a pen and piece of paper right now and jot down this phone number, 254-445-2473. Once again, that's 254-445-2473. You may also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Again, my name is Kerry Clark, and I'm with Brother David Harris again this afternoon. I was out on vacation last week, camping in the mountains of Colorado. It's good to be back to Texas, although it's a little bit warmer here than it was up in Colorado. But anyway, Brother David and I are going to ask you to open in your Bibles right now to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In a few moments, David is going to read verses 13 through 19. We're going to come back and make some comments about what he's reading. But what we're going to do this afternoon is try to begin to answer a question. And that question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And so what we're going to do in our study is we're going to go to the book of Mark. And we're going to go through and we're going to look at the life of Christ. And hopefully, folks, as we do this, that will help us to get a deeper understanding of who Jesus actually is. David, would you like to read for us Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19?
Sure will, Kerry. And by the way, welcome back. And we want to thank Michael Light for filling in for you last week. And we're certainly glad to have you back as well. Matthew chapter 16... It's a very interesting passage of Scripture that we're going to read here. It says, when Jesus was coming to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you are John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. That would be Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you also that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
You know, David, several things jump out when we read that text of Scripture. And friends, we're not going to have the time in our radio program today to go in and look at all the details of this. But one of the things, David, that I noticed when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? And his disciples said, well, some say you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Their answer to his question had one thing in common. They were all wrong.
Every one of them.
Every one. And friends, the point that we're making with that is that when you ask men who Jesus is, you're most likely going to get a wrong answer. Isn't that right, David?
Absolutely.
You know, David, if we were to go down the street right now and we were just to take a survey of 100 different people right here in Dr. Pepper, Dublin, Texas, and we were to walk down the street and ask them, who is Jesus? How many different answers do you think we might get?
I'm relatively certain that we have many different answers to the question that are not scriptural.
Okay.
Absolutely not biblical.
Okay.
Based upon what men have said and what other men have told other people.
Okay.
And it's a concept that people have of Jesus that is not a biblical one.
And David, that to me is one of the most frustrating things when you start studying with people and talking to people. There is this concept about Jesus that is blatantly false, that they hold that Jesus does this or says this or did this or did that, and it's a false concept. And so what I would like to do and what David would like to do is we would like to go through and try to give us a biblical understanding of who Jesus is. David, one of the most common misperceptions that I see about Jesus is the thought that he's so loving that he would never condemn anybody. Do you run into that?
I run into that all the time. As a matter of fact, we get into this universal salvation all the time. Jesus came and he died for everybody and everybody's going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And what we have here is a concept that is kind of a Play-Doh God, a Play-Doh Jesus. I'll mold him and I'll make him into what I want him to be, not necessarily what the Bible teaches him to be or exactly. What he is.
Okay. So friends, what we're going to do, and this is going to take us several weeks to go through and look at this particular idea, but we're going to find out who Jesus really is by going to the Word of God. And that brings up another point. In the text, Jesus said to Simon Bar-Jonah, or as you pointed out, Simon the son of Jonah, he said, "Now flesh and blood," this is Matthew 16:17, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." David, how does God reveal his will to us today?
Well, not in the same sense that he revealed it to the apostles in the first century, because okay. The apostles in the first century had a direct communication through the Holy Spirit
okay.
that we do not have today. And this is another one of the false concepts that we have of Jesus the Christ. And you hear a lot of charlatans, especially on television. I hate to call names. Kenneth Copeland may be one of them. And they will say, "Now listen, God spoke to me last night, and here's what God told me to tell you." And you can just rear back and call him a bald-faced liar, because God is not going to speak to him like that today. He speaks to us through the Word.
Ah, that's really what we want to turn our attention to. And David, let's go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 1, because we brought this point up. And friends, we need to point out that God is indeed speaking through His Word. And it says in Hebrews 1 and verse 1, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners," or different ways at different times, "He spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." Now listen carefully to verse 2. "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world." So God is speaking through his Son, Jesus Christ, today, correct?
Absolutely.
So where do we go to find out what Jesus is saying then?
Well, there's absolutely no way that we can know what Jesus is saying without having the Bible in hand.
That's right.
All of his words are recorded that we are to have. And if we don't have the Bible, there is absolutely no way that we can know what he has told us to do. There's no way that we can know what is right according to God. There's no way that we can access the wisdom of God except through the Word of God, because God is not going to directly reveal that to us anymore today, as he has done in times past.
And David, you're absolutely right. And the Bible is crystal clear that God has given us his Word, and it is the final revelation that God is given to mankind. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. It says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So Peter is telling us that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Is there anything else that we need, David?
No. And to add to that, everything we ever needed to know about life, everything that we needed to know about godliness, he guarantees us that it's here. Now, okay. We either believe that or we don't.
That's right.
We go into Jude verse 3,
and we see
another passage that is very similar to that. And what we find there is Jude, inspired of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And so this entire system of faith, the Bible, the New Testament especially, has been once for all time delivered. Now, okay. If he has once in all time delivered it to all people, then if he comes along and he speaks to Benny Hinn, and he tells Benny Hinn, I didn't want to play favorites, and he tells Benny Hinn that he's told him something that is outside of this Word, well, now he's revealed something that he says that he's already given us.
Yeah.
And I choose to believe Jesus on this one.
And we've got to believe Jesus on that. And friends, the point that we're driving home, and we want to make sure that you understand this point, God is not speaking directly to any man today. He speaks to us through the Word, the Bible. That's the way that God is speaking to us today. So friends, here's the point. If you want to know who Jesus is, you need to go to the Word of God, and you need to turn to the Word of God, and only in the Word of God are we really going to find out who Jesus is.
Right.
That's the only way we can do it.
Friends, this is a live call-in talk show.
That's right.
If you agree or if you disagree, if you have a point that you want to make, just call it in, 254-445-2473. We welcome your phone calls. We're not going to bite your head off. All we're doing is taking the Bible. You've heard what men have to say. Now let's just hear what the Bible has to say. That's all in the world we're after here, is we want to show God's knowledge through the Word that He has already revealed to us. We want to answer questions. We want to know who Jesus is. And by the way, the only way that we can possibly do this is to read that Bible. It is the only way that we can possibly get it done. Are we up against a break? We're going to a break. On the other side of the break, we will begin again, and we will find out who is this Jesus that's found between the pages of your Bible.
Friends, if you want to give us a call after the break, 254-445-2473.
The Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. We are tonight asking the question, who is Jesus? And we are after the biblical rendition of the answer. We started this program just a moment ago by reading Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13 through 19, when Jesus asked his own disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they all had an opinion. They said that men say that you are Elijah or Jeremiah, John the Baptist, one of the other prophets, and every one of them were wrong. And finally, Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus told him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it unto you. Now, flesh and blood has to do with mankind. As opposed to what men have to say, Peter relied on what God had to say. He says, my Father in heaven has revealed this unto you. Friends, that's what we're after. And the only way that we can know what the Father in heaven has to reveal to us is to take our Bible and to read just exactly what He has said to us about that very thing. We looked just a moment ago at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Which says that God at sundry times and in divers manners spoken to the fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now, it's very interesting, Kerry, that He tells us that Jesus is now speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. Here we have the revelation of the Bible, and we find in John chapter 12 and verse number 48, Jesus said, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so I don't know how many times, and I know you have too, you hear people say, well, I've got Jesus right here in my heart. And friends, they have never even picked up a Bible to know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Terry?
You know, I had a friend that was a gospel preacher, and this has been years ago, but he was at a meeting, and a guy stood up, and he had a Bible in his hand, David, and he said, I don't know much about this book, but I know Jesus. Well, this old brother, he was kind of straightforward. He stood up and said, tell me one thing you know about Jesus you didn't find in that book.
That's right. You cannot know God's will. You cannot know Jesus. You cannot know God. You cannot know his wisdom. And you certainly cannot know the righteousness of God without that word. Absolutely right, Kerry.
And, you know, David, we want to get people to call in. So we're going to keep giving the phone number, and we're asking for you to call 254-445-2473. 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, we want to take just a moment to explain a little bit about the four accounts of the gospel. And I think as we go through this, friends, you're going to understand why we're going to take just a few moments to do this. But when you start reading the four accounts of the gospel, David, notice that I've repeatedly said four accounts of the gospel. There are not four gospels.
Mm-hmm.
There are four accounts of the one gospel,
right.
But the Bible tells us there's only one gospel. And so we want to make sure that people understand that there are four accounts of the one gospel. But Matthew, when he wrote his book, he was writing to the Jewish people. And in doing that, because their knowledge of the Old Testament, he emphasized the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is king. And we'll talk about this a little bit later on in our study, not today, but we'll get to it later on, about Jesus being king right now. And by the way, there's a lot of people that deny that because they say the kingdom's not in existence today, David. How can you have a king without a kingdom?
Can't have one.
You can't have one. But Matthew, as he wrote to these people, he emphasized Jesus as the king and his kingdom. And in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus said there, all power or all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and earth. That's stressing the kingdom of Christ. Now, Mark, on the other hand, was writing to a totally different audience.
Mm-hmm.
He was writing to the Roman people, and he emphasized the power and majesty of Jesus. We'll find in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 37 that Jesus did all things well. I've seen a lot of talented people in my life. I've seen some guys that you give them an instrument and they can play it without ever having studied it. They played football, they ran track, but there were some things that they couldn't do, David.
There were a lot of things.
A lot of things they couldn't do. But Jesus, everything he did well. That's what Mark is emphasizing by talking about the power and majesty of Christ. Of course, Luke, the great physician, was writing to the Greeks, and he stressed this ideal manhood. The Greeks were into manhood, and so he talked about Jesus growing in wisdom and in knowledge and in stature with favor and with God and man. And so he emphasized the ideal manhood. And then John, when he wrote his account of the gospel, it was more of a generic letter to all of mankind. And he stressed that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, that he was deity. And he stressed his love. And he tells us in John chapter 14, quoting Jesus Christ, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man could come to the Father but by me. And so that is kind of how the accounts of the gospel were written down, friends. But we're going to look at Mark's account and what he tells us about Jesus in our study over the next several weeks. And so we want to encourage you, friends, if you would like to read ahead, just start reading in the book of Mark. There's 16 chapters. Go ahead and read the 16 chapters, and we will draw a point from each one of those chapters to look at the life of Christ. You know, David, the life of Christ is kind of summed up in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. And maybe it would do good for us just to take a moment and go ahead and read Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Would you like to read that for
us? Absolutely, I would. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all of Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all of these things, which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, slew him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him should receive remission of sins."
David, very clearly, as Peter is speaking here, and he gives us a summation of the life of Christ, Jesus went about doing good. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, then friends, we need to go about doing good. You might remember in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, Paul told us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so, friends, what we're trying to do and look at Jesus is try to understand his mind so that we can be more like him. And so with that before us, friends, let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And as we do this, friends, we're going to emphasize what we find in verse number 35, but in order to set the context, the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse number 32, that at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him, that's Jesus, all that were diseased and that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. David, is that telling us Jesus was a man of prayer?
Absolutely it is. And he was a man of prayer. And he felt the need to communicate with the Father on a daily basis throughout the day. And as Jesus was, so are we to be. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, we read there, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now, Carrie, the sinless Son of God prayed to God, leaving us an example of how to pray and to whom to communicate. And he has given us this avenue, a great blessing that we have here on this earth as children of God, as faithful, penitent, obedient, baptized believers in Christ. We have this privilege and benefit to pray to God. One of the greatest blessings that we can have, God speaks to us through the Bible, and he expects us to speak to him through prayer.
That's exactly right. And you know, friends, as we all know, communication is a two-way street. And in order for us to communicate, we need to have, there has to be David talking to me and me talking back to David. That's the only way communication is ever accomplished. And friends, it's the very same way with God. God communicates with us through his word, but God wants us to communicate back to him through, as David pointed out, through prayer. And David, I am afraid, and maybe I'm wrong, you might have a different perspective, but I think that a lot of people in the world look at prayer as 911.
Evidently.
You know, whoops, God, I got myself into a fix again, and
right.
Can you bail me out? God doesn't want prayer to be simply a 911. Now, I am not advocating or saying it's wrong to call or to pray to God in times of trouble. That's not the point. My point is that I am concerned that most people, that's the only time they do pray.
No doubt about that. And there are all different kinds of prayers. There's the prayer of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
There's a prayer of praise. There's a prayer of supplication.
Exactly.
And all of these different avenues of prayer need to be used. God expects us to praise Him in prayer, to praise Him for His loving kindness and His mercy and His greatness. And He also expects us to give thanks. And we are commanded to do so in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. And Carrie, let's just read that, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. And sometimes we just forget that. I don't know how often this happens, but, you know, in times of drought, we have a lot of people praying for rain, and once it rains, they don't want to get wet and go to church. So we forget to give thanksgiving not only verbally, in a verbal sense, through prayer, but also we forget to give thanksgiving through our means and our manner of life.
You know, and David, an interesting verse that we're going to come to after we get off the break. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and so you might mark that down, 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. But as David indicated, we're up against a break. Friends, the number to call, 254-445-2473, and we're talking about Jesus as a man of prayer. We'll see you after the break. welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition as we journey through the Bible together. This is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 254-445-2473. And let me say that again, 254-445-2473. You may also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Friends, we began our study this afternoon by going to Matthew chapter 16. We began our reading in verse 13 and read through verse 19, where Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they responded by saying, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you are Elias, some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And we pointed out, friends, they had one thing in common with their answer, that is, they were all wrong. And then, of course, Jesus asked his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" And, of course, Simon said that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said that flesh and blood had not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And so he was saying, in essence, that when you hear what men say, many times it's going to be wrong. And so if you want to know who Jesus is, friends, we've got to go to the Word of God and consider what the Word of God has to say. And so in looking at Jesus, we found that Jesus, the Son of God, was a man of prayer. In Mark chapter 1, in verse number 35, he got up a long time before daylight. That's kind of like David. David likes to get up early.
Amen.
He went off to a solitary place, and he prayed. David, in my understanding, every time Jesus made a crucial decision before he chose his apostles, before he was crucified, every major event in his life, he prayed all night the night before.
Yes.
And we pointed out, friends, that if Jesus, the very Son of God, who was sinless, perfect in every respect, if he thought he needed to pray, how much more so we as frail human beings need to be a people of prayer?
Well, it makes us look a little weak, doesn't it?
It does. It does. We think that we can get through it by ourselves, and we can't. But friends, listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Now, David alluded to some of this earlier, but listen to this. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus, then, is our mediator, David. What is a mediator?
A mediator is a go-between.
Okay.
In the Old Testament, the mediator was the high priest in the temple.
Okay.
And he was the go-between between the people and God. And Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is the one that we have to go through to get to God. As a matter of fact, Jesus mentions this in John chapter 14, verse 6, when he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." And that puts a little bit of light on, Islam, Mohammedism, Buddhism. You take it, they claim that they've got the same God we got, but except their God didn't have a son named Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus said, "If you don't go through me, you can't get to the Father." So what does that tell you, Kerry?
Well, that tells you that all these others are wrong, David.
Absolutely.
Do you know that in the Quran, the book, so-called Holy Book of Islam, it says that God cannot produce offspring? Well, what does that do to Jesus being the Son of God, David?
Well, it eliminates him.
It eliminates
out
him.
Of there.
Yeah, it puts so don't come up here, friends, and tell me that Islam and Christianity have the same God.
They can't.
They cannot have the same God. Now, friends, we're stressing that Jesus was a man of prayer. Do you know that the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 17 that we are to pray without ceasing? Now, David, we're talking about as children of God that we need to be praying, and we need to be praying constantly, fervently, prayers, as we mentioned earlier, prayers of thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
prayers of supplication, prayers of intercession, prayers of giving of thanks, prayers of praise. David, that sounds like we ought to be praying quite a bit.
We ought to be praying quite a bit, and we ought to be praying, have some kind of a time in our day set aside for God. And by the way, if anybody is too busy to set time aside for God, well, Kerry, now they're just way yonder too busy.
That's exactly it.
They're
David.
Way too busy.
Yeah.
I would hate to think that God was too busy to have any time for me. If that was the case, if God was too busy based upon our prayer to Him, where would that leave us? In many cases, where would that leave us? It would leave us devastated because we are nothing without Him.
That's exactly right. Friends, do you have a question or a comment about Jesus being a man of prayer? Give us a call at 254-445-2473. We would love to hear from you and talk to us about this subject. David, let's turn our attention now to 1 Peter chapter 3. And as we look at this, there's several things, and maybe as we look at this, this might generate some questions from the audience. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse number 8, Peter writes this, "Finally, be ye all of one mind." Now, I've got to pause there, David.
Uh-huh.
Is he saying that as Christians, we ought to think the same things and speak the same things and do the same thing?
Absolutely. And, Kerry, the absolute only way that we can do that is for you to read the Bible and for me to read the Bible, and let's come up with the mind of Christ.
That's right. That's right. But, David, don't we see under the so-called umbrella of Christianity people saying different things, worshiping God in different ways? Is that what Jesus died for?
No, sir. No, sir. He wants us to come into the unity of the faith. And the faith is what is revealed in the Word of God. And when we get away from that faith, we have it. We have lost it. We have lost it all. And so when you're talking about one mind, and Philippians chapter 2, I believe, said, "Let us all have the mind of Christ."
That's
I
it.
Believe that's right.
Yeah.
And so if we are with one mind, it is the mind of Christ. We're talking about who is Jesus Christ. He is the one that wants us to be thinking just like He thinks.
And, you know, isn't that what a disciple really is? A follower, a learner. And if we're going to be disciples of Christ, then we're going to study as much as we can. You know, David, you stop and you think about, there are people that are enamored with, like Elvis Presley, and
uh-huh.
they study every aspect of his life. They listen to every song that he ever sang, and they completely immerse themselves into the life of Elvis Presley.
Right.
And we look at them and say they're a little bit fanatical.
Uh-huh.
Well, friends, we ought to have that same mind when it comes to Jesus. I want to know everything the Bible says about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Because I want to be just like Him.
Well, you know, that passage I was referring to just a moment ago is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, which actually says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who was in the form of God."
That's right.
And so we have got to have the one mind, and it's got to be the mind of Christ.
All right. So back to 1 Peter chapter 3. I may have said chapter 2 earlier. If I did, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." I think we have a phone call coming in. So, caller, if you would, just give us your first name and your question or your comment.
Well, I just have a good comment I'd like to make to you guys. I was looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and first three or four verses are talking about people being carnal minded, you
yes,
know.
Sir.
And then it goes ahead and says, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy, which is jealousy, and strife, and division, are you not carnal, and walk as after the manner of men? And then verse 4 says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal and men? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? And then in verse 6, I have planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God always gives the increase for us if we live according to his word and to his will. And I just want to thank you guys for being on air and planting the seed. And I think it's a good work, and I hope you can keep on going.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your call and your comments, and very, very astute comments they are. We are just men. All we are doing here is just taking God's word and letting the public know what God has to say rather than what men have to say. If we came on here and we just gave you our opinion or what we thought, we would be no better than the carnal people you just got through reading
That's
about
right.
there just a moment ago.
Right, right.
Well, and, thank you very much
again,
for your call.
Thank
yes,
y'all
sir.
Very much.
Well, we appreciate you calling very much. Friends, we were looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we notice that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that Paul tells us, and I'm sorry, that's not the verse that I was looking at. It's not 1 Timothy. Where were we? Just
1 Peter.
1 Peter chapter 2. That's exactly right. 1 Peter chapter 2. But friends, I guess we're up against a break right now. I'll get it
Let
right
me help
in a minute.
You out here, Kerry. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Okay.
All right, that's where we were, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. But friends, we're getting the signal, it's break time. So give us a call at 254-445-2473.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. We do hope you have your Bibles open and your telephone in hand. The number to call is 254-445-2473. This is a live call-in talk show. We're talking tonight about Jesus Christ, who He is, and Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 establishes Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as a man of prayer. And we are told throughout the Bible to pray to God in different fashions and different ways. And before we get right back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, which we had so much trouble with a while ago, I want to remind you what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he told the brethren to do there in verse number 5 of chapter 4. He says, "Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus." And so we are to pray, and we are to thank God, and we are to give Him our supplications. But there is a passage of Scripture, Carrie, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 that I want you to read for us, if you will, and I want you to touch on that for just a moment. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, this is what the Holy Spirit, through the inspired writer John, has to say about prayer.
1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him."
According to His will. Well, what does that mean?
Well, that means it must be in line with the teachings of the Word of God. You know, if I ask for $1 million so I can go blow it down at the casino, that's not in the will of God, is it?
No, sir. No, sir. It's
contrary to the will of God. So God has given us a prescription, as it were, that when we pray, we're first of all to pray to God the Father. You know, this idea that I can pray to Jesus and I can pray to the Holy Spirit, that's not in the Word of God, David.
No, sir.
We pray to God the Father, and we do it in the name of Jesus Christ, John chapter 14. And so according to the will of God, my prayer must be addressed to God the Father, and it must be in the name or through the name of Jesus Christ. And then it must be in line with the teachings of the Word of God. James tells us in James chapter 4, I believe it is.
4 and 3.
That we ask, or we don't receive because we ask amiss. And we ask amiss so that we can just blow it on ourselves. And that's not according to the Word of God.
On our own pleasures.
Yeah.
That is not what He's telling us to do when He says that our prayers and our supplication and our thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It's not the fact that He can't do it. It's the fact that He's not going to do it because it's not according to His will. And so if we are not in tune with the will of God, we are barking up the wrong tree.
Well, you know, David, when we stop and think about that, if in my will I write that my children can inherit, which they're not going to get much, but, you know, they get their inheritance. If I have specified certain things in my will, and they violate that will, does that not mean that they lose their inheritance?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So is it the same thing with God? If we do something in violation to His will, then we lose our inheritance?
Right. Okay. And this is not a difficult thing to understand because His will is revealed through the righteousness of the Word.
Yeah.
And so all we have to do to find out what His will is just to read the book.
That's it.
And if we'll read the book, it gets us right back to where we started just a moment ago. How in the world can we know Jesus if we don't read the book? Well, how can we know the will of Christ? How can we know the will of God? We just flat can't do it unless we read the book. And so now we're back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Carry on.
Well, we're going to have to, for time's sake, to skip down and begin in verse 11. It says,
okay.
Let him, this is the one that God is going to bless, let him eschew or hate evil and do good. Remember Acts 10 and verse 38, Jesus went about doing good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now listen to verse 12, friends. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. David, does that mean that God listens to the prayers of a righteous person?
Absolutely.
Does it mean that God does not listen to the prayers of people that are doing evil?
That's what it says.
Okay. What about the person, David, that wants to pray the sinner's prayer and be saved?
Well, we get back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Let your request be made known according to the will of God. Now, what is the will of God? Is it the will of God that we kneel down and say the sinner's prayer in order to be saved, in order to have peace with God?
I haven't found the sinner's prayer yet in my Bible.
It's not there. It was in that little booklet that we had the other day that somebody gave us from I believe it was the Cowboy Church.
Yeah.
But it's not in the Bible.
Okay. So, friends, the point is that Jesus was a man of prayer. And if we're going to be a disciple or a follower of Christ, we need to be a people of prayer. But first, friends, we need to get our relationship with God in the right order. We've got to be in a right relationship with God before he's going to hear our prayers. Now let's look at it like this, David. And hopefully this hasn't happened to you, but I dare say that it's happened to a lot of people. Maybe your child has done something that you strongly have disagreed with. You know, you see it all the time on television where they're having these interventions with people that are addicted to drugs or whatever. There comes a point when, David, when the phone rings and you see that it's that child that is living in complete rebellion to everything that you've ever taught them, that you just don't answer the phone.
No, there'll come a time.
Yeah.
There'll come a time in a person's life when they have to do that.
Yeah. So does there come a point in which God does not hear our prayers then?
Absolutely. I mean, we're looking at the Scripture here that tells us so. Now, one, just to make a good illustration, we were talking about the religion of Islam just a moment ago.
Okay.
And when we're talking about the religion of Islam and their holy book, the Quran, says God can't have a son, my God, the God of the Bible, the creator of the universe, has a son by the name of Jesus the Christ. Now, that's what the righteousness of God teaches through his righteous word. Islam teaches that which is unrighteous.
That's right.
So now, you telling me that great God of heaven is going to answer a prayer of that unrighteous religion that teaches that Jesus Christ is not?
I don't see how he can.
I mean, all we're doing here is reading what the Word of God has to say. In verse number 12, again, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, it is about the most evil thing that you can do to say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God.
Well, I would say John said if you do that, you have the spirit of an antichrist.
That's it. That is it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no doubt about that. Also, the same John that said that you have the spirit of an antichrist also says that you're not supposed to have anything to do with an individual like that. In 2 John in verse 9, and we have a caller. So we'll go ahead and take that call because we're just about out of time. Caller, would you give us your first name and also your question or your comment?
Okay, my first name's Pam, and I have a question that's not on the subject of today.
That's fine.
But it's just in my Bible reading this morning, I was in Job 33 and come upon verse 29, and I don't understand it at all. So I thought, well, I haven't been paying attention to what I'm reading. So I went back and reread the chapter. It says, behold, God works all these things twice, in fact, three times with a man, to bring back his soul from the pit that he may be enlightened with the light of life.
Okay, you are in Job number
33. 29 and 30.
Okay. This, of course, is Job speaking, and you know, we're just looking at it. We don't have time to do a lot of detail in this, but it seems to me, and this is just in a simple reading, he's talking about the fact that we do walk away from God. Verse 27, I have sinned, and I have perverted that which was right. He said, lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the pit, to enlighten him with the light of living. It seems to me, Pam, that God is telling us that he wants us to be saved. And he's going to put forth every effort that he can to get us out of the pits that we dig ourselves into.
I think what really I didn't understand is twice, in fact, three times with a man. So what does he do twice, and why three times with a man?
Well, and I don't know what version you're reading from.
That's King James, or New King James.
Okay, because in the King James it says, the Lord or God oftentimes works with a man. And I think that he's using that, and I don't know why the King James translators translated it exactly like that, but it seems to me that he's just talking about that God does this often. You get yourself in a mess, God will get you out, no matter if you do it two times, three times, whatever it is. David, do you have anything to add to that?
That's just about all that you can say without breaking the whole thing down and going back at the at the very beginning of the chapter.
Yeah.
But,
well, I can see now where it says twice, in fact, three times. It could be the same thing. Okay, I was reading that as separate things. They do it twice for something and three times for a man. I didn't understand that. Okay.
Okay.
I think you clarified the biggest problem I had.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate your calls. And likewise, anyone else that has a question, you don't have to question us on what it is that we have chosen for a topic. If you've got a topic you want to talk about, all you got to do is call in. Right now, we are up against, Sam is looking at us. It looks like we have overstayed our welcome. I think we're a little overtime here. And so we're going to have to sign off, but I want to say this one thing. Read your Bibles and give us a call. Be ready to call in next week. It doesn't make any difference what you want to talk about. And if you are looking for a good place to go worship this this coming first day of the week, if you're in Stephenville, stop at the Hillcrest Church of Christ and visit with us. If you're in Hamilton, stop at the Park Heights Church of Christ. And here in Dublin, you can stop at the Patrick Street Church of Christ and worship here in Dublin, Texas. We want to bid everybody Godspeed. And, Kerry, I'll let you have the last word.
Well, friends, we want to thank you. Read ahead. Read Mark chapter 2. And we'll see you next week.